I don't usually like do these big, all right, it's the end of the year sermons type things. But what I thought was, we don't know what next year's going to hold, do we? We do not know what's coming, and we can't just walk into the new year blind. We can't walk into the new year unprepared. So how do we prepare for this new year? And then I don't mean like, trying to anchor your bank account and, establish yourself better in your job or something like that, but in life. How do we prepare for this new year? And the only thing I can really say to you is the only way to prepare it is through God's word. Everything that we do ought to be through God's word. Our life ought to be planned, directed, guarded, everything by the word of God. Doesn't the Bible teach us that our life ought to be led by his word? His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? I mean, read Psalm 119, all 6,000 verses of it, and you'll see how much the word of God, the Holy Spirit, is lifting up the word of God and what it means or should mean to us. So here's what I encourage you. I don't know what this year holds. And I'm very open with you guys about my trials and my burdens. I'm very open with you about what's going on in my life and my family's life, because you better not think the pastor has it all sorted out and settled. You better not think that I'm all perfect and I got no issues. I have issues and I deal with things and I deal with concerns and worries. And you know what? I deal with pride and other issues. I shared with Joe last night. Everybody knows that Lisa and I made a decision to leave our home church. Okay? And we made that decision because our home church said, if your girls, Lisa and the girls, wear trousers, you can't be a part of our church. So either don't wear trousers and be part of our church, or wear trousers and you have to quit being a missionary. And so what we decided to do was neither one of those things. We decided to wear the trousers because we feel the Lord is okay with that for us, and it's perfectly fine, and there's nothing scriptural against it. And bottom line is, we had been given bad teaching for 20 years of our Christian life, and now through study of God's word. And are you recording this? Good. Amen. We've had bad teaching, and now through the word study of God's word, we know what we can do, and so they're wearing trousers. So we made the decision to wear them, and we made this decision to not to continue being a missionary, but in order to do that, we had to leave our home church. Now we've done that. It'll be official come the 1st of January. Churches in America have already started switching their support from our old home church to our new sending church. We have already received emails and letters of churches that have dropped us and will no longer support us because of this issue on trousers. I got a letter that I shared with Joe the other day that basically said, "Steve, I am disappointed. I'm disappointed in you. And I'm disappointed in your decision." And then he said this. He said, "Character is not something that you learn or gain, but it is something that you are." And he implied in the letter that I have no character because I've dropped this standard. And then he went on to say that all the people that I've known who've changed their standard, in other words, allowing their wives and daughters to wear trousers, have also become heretical in their doctrine. In other words, they have left good biblical doctrine. And I read that letter, and I'll be honest with you, I felt hurt. I felt my pride was hurt. I sat down and I thought, I'm going to write this guy a letter and tell him what for. I've not written him a letter, and I'm not going to write him a letter, and I'm not going to do anything about it. And I'm just going to let it go. I tell you that story because you know what? I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know how the Lord's going to take care of us. But I know that the Lord's going to take care of us. Amen? Amen? I don't know about, you know, my health or Lisa's health. Ida, 2 years ago, she didn't know she was going to have cancer. She didn't know at the end of October that she was going to be with the Lord in just a couple of days into the month of November. See, the thing is, we just don't know. So how do we prepare for the unknown? Can I give you some Bible verses? Because that's the only real way that we're going to prepare for the unknown. And this is the verse I think we should start off with. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What should I do? What is the most important thing that I can do? What should I do? What should you do? We're starting a new year. What should I do? Should I work harder? Should I think differently? Here's what I should do. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? Ask yourself, what can I offer the Lord? I thought about that and I said, can I really offer God anything? Joe, what can I give the Lord? You know what I can give the Lord? My yieldedness. My surrender to His will. My surrender to His direction. What can I offer the Lord? You know, David said when he was wanting to build an altar to worship God, the altar was a threshing floor, was a workplace of this guy named Aruna. Aruna said, David, you can have the ox, you can have the cart he was pulling, and you can have this land, all of it. You just take it. And David said, wait a minute. I'm not going to give anything unto the Lord that doesn't cost me something, that doesn't come from here. I want to give Him an offering. We start this new year, and what we need to say to ourselves is, what can I offer the Lord? And the one thing we can offer the Lord is ourself, our yieldedness to Him. You know, it goes back to Romans 8:28. We think that good is good and bad is bad, but that's not true. In the Lord, all things can be used of good, whether it's good or bad. I've told you the story before. Some of the most horrendous, horrible things that ever happened in my life have actually turned around to be the greatest things that have affected my faith in Christ. It is those difficult issues that you go through in trusting God that will make your faith stronger than you could ever imagine. It's like this. Someone asked last week, what makes our faith mature? Does anybody know? What is the one thing that is guaranteed to mature a person's faith? Trials. But trials, kind of like Job. Trials where we do not get bitter at God, but where we yield to God's hand. Okay? And that is what strengthens our faith. It's found in James. I can't remember the verse, but I think Joe's looking for it. You find it, you yell at me. But that's the thing. So here, can I ask you something? Oh, my soul. You know why year after year after year nothing ever changes? Because we don't yield ourselves to the Lord. This year, what can we prepare unto the Lord? Man, ask ourselves, what can I give Him? And the answer is yourself. Just give Him yourself. What can I offer the Lord? I can offer Him my life. Lord, not my will be done, but Yours. That was quote. That was what Moses said, right? Yeah, thank you. Just making sure you're awake. That was the Lord. And if God Himself says to the Father, if God the Son says to the Father, not what I desire, but what You desire is what I want. I don't want to do this, but I know that Your desire for me is right. Your path for my life is right. Your desire for me, I don't want to mess that up. Your will be done, not mine. Amen? Let me give you another verse. There are no rhyme or reason with the order. These are just scripture verses. Philippians 4:13. You know that verse, don't you? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I put that in there because I'm thinking about this new year. And I'm thinking about what is going to happen and how are we going to handle these things. And you know what? I just don't have an answer, Joe. But here's my answer. Through Christ, we can do these things. How did you handle that phone call or email from your ex-girlfriend?
Not very well. but you get through it.
But you get through it. And it ain't over yet, is it? How will you continue to get through it? Well, Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who's my strength. Listen, folks. Don't fear what this year holds, but don't underestimate it either. Don't go into it blindly thinking this is just going to be perfect. It's not. I promise you, it's not going to be a perfect year. I promise you, there will be pain and hurt. This is life. Amen? Amen? And Joel, he was praising the Lord for a great year. But I know that somewhere in that year, this past, there has been hurt and pain. He's going, yeah. Okay? But listen, I'll encourage you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But do you get what the verse says? Christ who strengthens, not you who strengthens. It's not you making, you know, working harder and Kais, I'm just picking on him because I ain't picked on him today. You know, so our nature is, let me carry it. I'll do it. Baloney. Baloney. Brother Ron used to teach me this because I'm a fixer. So I want to grab it. I want to fix it. I want to tinker with it. I want to find the way. Pastor would say, Steve. And that means let go of it and allow God to work through it. Don't be afraid of His working in your life, Steve. Don't be afraid of His will. I had to learn this and I'm still learning it, but I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Now the verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now I'm not trying to give you a deep exegetical expository message from every single verse, but can I say to you about this verse? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen to me. We are not held by the old. We are not held by the past. In Christ, the past is just the past. In other words, I have failed in the past, have I not? I don't live in my failures today. And do you know what? If I make a bad decision and I find out that, you know, I've done something wrong or whatever, I don't wallow in it. Do you know why? Because in the blood of Christ, it's in the past. It's done. I can't deal with it anymore. It's over. I might have some consequences of it. And look at me. You will have consequences to sin. But listen, only Satan will take what's in the past and try to continue to make you feel guilty over it. But the Lord will not. I look at that verse and I think, not only is that what I am, but that is how I am to live. Behold, all things have become new. I am not held by my past. And I don't care what's happened this year. It doesn't make a difference. It's in the past. So look at this year, Kais, as a new year. Something fresh in the Lord. It is a plain, it's a cleared easel where God can paint a picture on. Now you pray for Kais. Is it okay to say this? January 27th is your last day, I think. 24th. January 24th. So 27th is your first day. Ah. The 27th of January is Kais's first day at his new job. Okay? Concerns? Worries? You know, did I do the right thing? Is it? And trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will what? He will direct your paths. Listen, trust the Lord and trust Him for this new year. We don't know what's coming, but He does. Amen? Amen? Another verse let me give you. We'll end here in a few minutes, but just a couple of verses. Verse here. I have no idea what I've done. But let me read you my notes. The Lord, verse 4. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Grant thee unto according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. What's going on in that verse? People are praying. The psalmist is writing a prayer here, okay? And you know what? He's praying because he has some burdens and some trials and some difficult things in his life. And what this these verses are talking to is about intercessory prayer. You want to pray for, you want to prepare for next year? How do we prepare? Folks, we pray. Let me read you something I wrote from my notes. In intercessory prayer, the congregation that's in this verse here was praying. And they were praying together that God would answer their king's request for victory and protection against the enemy, that they would send help from the sanctuary, which was the tabernacle. That was the rest in the dwelling place of God. So, in essence, they were saying, God, send us help from you. And then they prayed that the sacrifices and the offerings and the worship that the king had offered with his prayer would be acceptable to the Lord, and that the king's hearts and his desires will be fulfilled and his plans would be successful. Now that verse is saying, Lord, make my heart and my plans successful. But we pray that all the time. Lord, bless what I'm doing. Make what I'm doing successful. But here's what we miss out. The king could pray that. Do you know why? Because he had prepared his heart that his desires, his plans were the Lord's desires and the Lord's plans. We can't go into this year and say, God, just bless me. What we need to go into this year is do this. Say, Lord, make the heart, my heart's desire and my plans, make them from you. You know what I want more than anything this year, Kais? Is I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. I want to do His will. I don't want my own desires. Do you know what I really want? I want His desires to be mine. I don't pray for my desires to be accepted to Him. I pray that my desires would actually be His desires. Amen? Does that make sense to you? I want His desires to be mine. That's how we prepare for this new year. Oftentimes we come into a situation where we say, God, bless what I'm doing. Bless this thing. Give me what I want. But what if the Lord said, that's not what I want for you? You know what I want? I just want His desires. Amen? Let me give you another verse. Hopefully it's right on the paper. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. You know what everybody in this room should do? You ought to write that verse down. You ought to write it down when you're hurting. Or you ought to write it down so that when you're hurting, so if you lose your job, so if you lose someone that you love, your plans don't go exactly the way that you thought they'd go, or people come and attack you. How many times some folks come to me and say, Pastor, someone said this about me and I just don't know what to do and I'm hurting over it and I'm burdened over it and I just don't know what to do. When all these things come to play, you know what we need to realize? We need to realize this verse right here. Do you know what? The Lord's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I love this part. His compassion, it fails not. His love towards me fails not. His mercies and His compassions, they are new every morning. Do you know you can wake up in the bitterest of trials and realize that His compassion and mercy is new, fresh for you today? Problem is we don't choose to live in that compassion and mercy. It's right there. Let me give you another verse and we have to go because the Sunday school will be up here in a few minutes. Preparing for this year. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. Every one of us should look at our faith right now. Every one of us should look at our heart and say, Lord, Lord, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. What we want to be is Christ-like, not me-like. Oh, can I say something else? I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to ever say to me, Preacher, that was a great message. Don't. You know what I want to hear? Pastor, God spoke to me through that word. Pastor, I want to share with you through the word that you've been teaching us how my faith has changed and grown. I don't ever want to hear a great sermon. I'm so fed up with watching young people on Facebook from those that I know go on and on and on and on about how great men are. Joe, would you like to tell people what men are? We are nothing but sinners saved by God's grace. There's no greater man than any other man, really. As much as we like certain preachers and teachers of God's word, we need to realize they are still yet sinners saved by God's grace. And do you know God can do in you what God did in them? Amen? Hey, it is the Lord, nothing else. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That verse means this: I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good, plans for your welfare, and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do you know what? Let God direct your ways. Sometimes you and I need to get out of the way and let the Lord lead. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know what it means? It means men have many plans in our mind, don't we? Don't we? But it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Your plans, if they're not of the Lord, they're going to fall. But do you realize His plans cannot fall? His plans, His purposes, they will not be destroyed. Listen, it's like that story in the Bible where one man built his house on sand, one man built his house on the rock, which is Christ. The one on the rock in Christ, the Word, amen, that stood. Everything else fell to bits. Do you know why people's lives, some of them, fall apart? It's what they've built it on, that's why. See, the guy that built his house on the rock, it never said that he'd have no storm. It only said that through the storm he'd stand because his life is built on Christ. The other guy had same storms, but he fell to bits because his life wasn't built on Christ. Remember that when you go begin this year, that the Lord's purposes will stand. 2 Timothy 2:22. Hey man. Flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what it means? As God's people, we ought to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Pursue. You know what we need to make as a point of our life? To pursue after righteousness, faith, and peace, and love, and those things. Let me say to you this. You and I will be what we put in. Okay? If we are constantly putting in profanity and wickedness and things, that's what's going to come out of our life. And I know a lot of people think we're crazy. We don't watch movies that take the Lord's name. We don't watch movies that defile the holiness of God. We don't watch movies that could corrupt the mind and life of our children. We don't do it. The predominant movies that we have in our house are Disney flicks. And it's becoming even with those, Joe, that we can't watch some of the Disney flicks. Have you ever noticed all these cute little Disney girls, what they become? Britney Spears. What's her name? Hannah Montana. Miley Cyrus. You want your daughters to be like that? I was trying to watch football during Thanksgiving, a real team, the Cowboys and some other team that they played. And the halftime show came, and I thought, it's going to be rubbish. I didn't realize how rubbish it was. some girl who used to be on the Disney shows as this cute little girl. Do you watched it? Do you know what it was? I know you didn't. But do you know what? I had to turn it off, and I had to yell at my children, "Get out!" Because they was coming in the room from the kitchen. And I didn't want them to see this girl in one-piece little bathing suit thingy doing all that kind of stuff on the television. Because can I tell you, when it comes into your mind, it is there, and you can't get rid of it. Okay? You want to prepare for this year? Cancel some of the subscriptions to Sky. Get rid of the rubbish that's tempting you. If you can't handle the iPads and the tablets and the smartphones, and you can't keep away from those sites you ought not to want to see and corrupting the holiness of your mind, get rid of them or do what I've done. Block that rubbish off your things. I've done things for our computers and stuff in the past, Covenant Eyes and whatever, that guards our incoming internet stuff. We have a program now that keeps certain things from any device in my house accessing them through our Talk broadband. Why? Because I know that there are temptations there, and we just want to stop it. Because I understand that if it comes in, you ain't never getting rid of it. Okay? It's there. It's an imprint in your mind. You want to prepare for this year? Do that. Pursue righteousness and holiness and faith and love and peace. And I'm done. I'll give you some more verses maybe next month, next week, whatever. Listen, here's what you're going to do. I am pleading with you and I'm begging with you. You want to know the joy of the Lord? You want to know the blessings of God? Then put yourself in a place so that you can have them. You can't, what's that Bible verse about sweet water and bitter? Anybody remember the verse, Renee? About bitter water, sweet water, something like that? So you can't have both within you. You can't take a little sweet and you can't take a little bitter. You can't be of a nature of a double-mindedness. You can't play with unrighteousness and righteousness at the same time. It doesn't work. We're going into this new year, and what we want to be is pleasing unto the Lord. And one is blessings and all of that. But how are we going to do that? We got to build our life on the Word of God. Okay? And I encourage you, make some decisions. You know, I was talking to somebody that said this, that 50% of the male population in a church battles with pornography. Matter of fact, the statistic said that 50% of the men in a church say that they have looked at some form of pornography. And I forget what the time period was, but say a month. 50%. It is a of epidemic proportions. You need to guard yourself. Amen? That just doesn't go for men either. It goes for women. So let's finish. But how do we prepare ourselves? Make a decision that you're going to live a holy life for God, and then build your life on His Word, and let that Word work in you. Do you know what the Word does? It sifts. And do you know it will clean your heart out? It will convict you of sin, the Holy Spirit and the Word. It will clean your heart out. Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for the message this morning, the testimony from Joe and vicariously from Judith. Lord, we already praise You and thank You for what You will do today and tonight. Bless Your people. Lord, We know where our life is. Our life is in You. And God, I believe that many people battle because they don't surrender their life to You. Christians, Lord, they keep a little of this, a little of that, and they won't surrender. God, help us to surrender this year. May they know, may we know the joy of the Lord and our salvation fresh and new. God, may we see your face each and every day and just commit our life for that day to you. Lord, may you build our life on your sweet, precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.